I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Song of Solomon, chapter 5. Song of Solomon, chapter 5. Let's thank the Lord for the evening. Our blessed Father, we are so thankful that you've given us a heart to be here. Lord, thank you for the privilege to sing praises unto your name, to hear the gospel proclaimed. Teach us this evening. Forgive us where we failed, for Christ's sake. Amen. I'd like to speak for a few minutes on the subject of a healthy sickness. I'd like to look at Song of Solomon, chapter 5. I'd like to look at verses 2 through 8. Now, this is a conversation that takes place between the bride of the Lord Jesus himself, and a group that is referred to as the Daughters of Jerusalem. Now let's listen. You have to understand now, this is a believer. This is the church. These are the redeemed and regenerated saints of God speaking to the Lord, and the Lord back to her. And in the latter part of these verses, we'll hear the bride say something to this group, the Daughters of Jerusalem. Now let's listen to an admittance of the bride herself. She says, "I sleep." Now, sin that dwells within every believer is the culprit, is the reason for us seeing ourselves as being careless and slothful and lax toward the Lord. The carnal heart, the old man, cares nothing for the things of God, but the believer, that new man created in righteousness, that new spirit that is imparted by the Spirit of God, groans, and this is an admittance of the bride of Christ. This is every believer admits this right here. I sleep. And they groan under that insensitivity to the Lord. Now, it's not a sleep of death. I can tell you this, an unbeliever does not think they're dead in trespasses and sins. They think they're alive. Talk to any of them. There's a justification for what they do. They don't believe. They're not going to admit this. I sleep. This is not a sleep of death, but it is an unbecoming attitude of insensitivity and indifference from the one who has tasted that the Lord is good. The bride says, "I sleep, but my heart waketh." Life is there. But it's said to be a battle going on here between a sleepy life, but it's a hopeful sign. Hopeful because there's grace in the heart when there is a struggle against the sin of sluggishness. When you find that there is a battle going on. If you find yourself struggling, you want to know the will of the Lord. You want that. You desire that. You crave that. It just eats you up. There's life there. Believe me, an unbeliever doesn't struggle with it. A believer, though he's finding himself often, always, I suppose, spiritually lax, there's life there too. Sin, though it's present, and it is, Paul said, I see in me, that is in my flesh, there dwells no good thing, but it doesn't have dominion over a believer. The heart is awake. That's what Shulamite says here. The bride, I sleep, but my heart's awake. How does she know? How do you know that your heart is awake? Well, here's what she says. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh. The believer knows the voice of the Lord. That's what the Lord said. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. The believer in the Lord Jesus Christ knows the voice of her beloved, knows the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ calling to her in the tenderest of terms and corrections. And she hears his voice in the preaching of the gospel. She hears his voice as she's searching the scriptures, and she hears his voice through the revelation as the Spirit of God bears witness to her heart. There's a battle that's going on. It's a warring against the sleepiness that she sees in herself. I sleep, but my heart's awake. And what does the bride hear him say? Well, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled, for my head is filled with dew and my locks with the drops of the night. How is he speaking to her? Well, he's speaking to her in terms that we're able to understand. He's talking to her as being on the outside. Open to me. But here again, now I told you last Sunday, I've seen that picture, you have too. You saw this picture of this guy standing outside this door. It has no door knob on the outside. And they're saying this is the Lord knocking at the heart of an unbeliever, you know, waiting for him, the unbeliever, to open the door so he can come in. No. He's talking to the bride. This is what he's saying. Open to me, my sister, my love. Jacob have I loved. Esau have I hated. Lord's angry with the wicked every day. He's talking to his dove, his undefiled. How'd she get that way? He robed her, Mark, in his righteousness. That's how she's undefiled. He bore her guilt and put away her sin. He said, my head filled with dew, speaking of him being on the outside in the moisture of the night, signifying patience, long-suffering, and obedient humiliation suffered on her behalf. He's talking to her as one that speaks to her concerning him desiring her heart to be toward him. Oh, how blessed to observe the unchangeable love of the Lord Jesus Christ toward his bride. He just speaks so tenderly toward her, and he's truly the refreshment of his people. But though we admit our failure to love him as we ought, he never fails to love us and love us to the end. That's what he said. And as he calls in tenderness, I want you to listen to the answer of ingratitude from his beloved. Now, again, This is the admittance of every believer. This is a believer's answer. And anyone that would say, I would never answer like that, well, you have reason to doubt. I can tell you that right now. This is the word of the bride. She says, verse 3, I've put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I've washed my feet. How shall I defile them? Now, this is what I say to us. What ingratitude. What a frivolous excuse. Here is the bride hearing the voice of her beloved. She said, I sleep, but my heart's awake. How do you know, Shulamite? I hear his voice. I hear his voice. Open to me. Well, I've already taken my clothes off. I've got my pajamas on, and I've washed my feet. And I'd mess my feet up if I got up. I'd rather not. Here is the surety himself. He who came into this world, the servant of Jehovah, earned by his absolute obedience the righteousness that he imputes to those that believe him, those who are his elect, those to whom he shall call by his Holy Spirit, laid down his life a ransom for his sheep. And how can we respond with such indifference? Let me ask you that believe. Can we truly deem ourselves children? And act like that? And answer him? What? Would I so foolishly deny to find myself often with that attitude right there? Can I be so cold? Let me ask you this. How can he be so loving? But for the grace of God, open to me. I just don't have time. I don't have time. I've got too many other things to do. I've already laid down. You're not worth it. That's what she said. I've already taken my clothes off. I've already lain down. I've already gone to bed. I've washed my feet. Let me ask you this. I mean, you think about if somebody that you know and love, and you lay down, and a knock comes at your door, and they call to you, Marvin, it's me, it's Glenda. I had to go. I'm locked outside. Can you open? Oh, I've already taken. I'm sorry. I've already washed my feet. I really, no. My beloved put his hand by the hole of the door, and my bowels, my heart was moved for him. He knocked, and she heard him. You that know him, how often have we, let's just be honest about it now. How many times have we heard the gospel? We've heard the voice of the Lord preached. And our minds would just be out here somewhere. We've heard it. We're hearing it. I mean, you're listening to what I'm saying. And it's consistent with what you know is so. It's speaking of the Lord and his sovereignty and man and his depravity in himself. And it's all just right. It's the voice of the Lord. But really, when it comes right down to just a giving of our all to him, do we not admit, I sleep. My heart's awake. I know I hear. I'm hearing it. I know it here. And I hear what he's saying. I hear the glorious message of redemption. But didn't even consider the voice of the Spirit of God speaking and me listening and responding in my heart as I ought. And in listening to what I'm saying, I'm preaching it right now. I'm preaching this. And I think to myself, how ungrateful, can I be? I've taken off my coat, I've washed my feet. I just don't want to get them dirty. That's what she said. How shall I defile them? But he who had every right to cast the one who had given him such an answer into hell would not leave the object of his mercy to herself. What did he do? Well, he put his hand by the hole of the door. It was a place where, the best I can understand, a place where you could reach in, and it was almost like a place of a key or some place to be able to unlock the door. It wasn't just a place where anybody could just... It was a place where the door could be unlocked, and there was a way that you could do it. He put his hand by the hole of the door. But here now, it's the opening to the bride's heart is what it is. Her heart is insensitive to him. She hears the knock. She hears him talking. And she gives an excuse. I just don't have time. And he moved upon her in power. Put his hand by the hole of the door. And those to whom the Lord comes in sovereign mercy, they cannot resist. Now we hear him speak, but when he puts his hand in the hole of the door of our heart, he opens it when we wouldn't. How wonderful to see the source of our longing toward him. Have you ever found this? I know you have. There's times that you read a scripture and all of a sudden you read something and it just seems like for the first time your heart just was ignited over that. You just didn't realize that. And your heart just rejoiced, and you just like those two on the road to Emmaus, it just burned as he opened unto us the scriptures. And it's like that prodigal son that came to himself. You write this down. Whenever our hearts burn within, whenever we find in just a moment, and it just seems like to me that the moments are so fleeting, I wish that they'd be more often. But there's times I've been here studying, and I would read something, and I've read it before. And it was as if the Spirit of God just took that particular verse at that moment and just broke my heart with it. And I found myself weeping, just sitting here weeping, by myself right here. And it was just so precious, and I thought to myself, Lord, what a precious thought. That was so good. That was just so refreshing. He put his hand by the hole of the door. And whenever we find ourselves rejoicing like that in a moment, it is because he put his hand by the hole of the door of our heart. And truly we say to him, Lord, I realize now for a moment, Lord, turn thou me and I shall be turned. But thou art the Lord my God. And listen to this. She wouldn't get up. She's too lazy. We're just so lax and we're just so insensitive. And he put his hand, the hole of the door, and she said, and my bowels, my heart were moved for him. I rose up to open to my beloved, and my hands dropped with myrrh and my fingers with sweet smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone, and my soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. Now here's the bride recovered by grace. It was by grace that the Lord first came to us and called us out of darkness, called us out of spiritual darkness. That happened one time. But I'm telling you, He has to recover us and recover us and recover us. Wash our feet that are defiled by the walk in this world, just like He did wash the feet of His disciples. Now, He has ignited her heart. My bowels were moved within me, and she desires now to do what just before she was just too sleepy spiritually to do. Just too insensitive, just too lax. Now she wants to rise and open to Him. And she puts her hands, the scripture says in verse 5, I rose up, she puts her hand on the lock where He had His hand. I rose up to open to my beloved, and my hands dropped with myrrh, and my fingers with sweet smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock. Where did that come from? Look at verse 1 of chapter 5. I'm coming to my garden, my sister, my spouse. I've gathered my myrrh with my spice. I've eaten. He's in the meeting and fellowshipping with His people. And that the sweet spices speaks of the grace that He bestows upon them. He reached in and touched that lock by the hole in the door. He unlocked it. He ignited her heart. And she came now in these terms to respond. She says, now, my hands dropped with myrrh. My fingers with sweet smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock. She came to where He had been. And now she smells something of the savor of her of His mercy to her. She can smell that savor of life and knows it's the Lord. And spiritually, she touches the bolt. That's what she said right there. She put her hand upon the handles of the lock. That's what she did. She touches the bolt of the door that He opened. And now she speaks as if her hands, the hands that touched the place that He touched, her heart, and it has His scent upon it. She can smell the mercy of God. She smells the savor of His kindness. And she opens the door with anxious anticipation, thinking He's going to be there. He'll be there. But He's not. She can't find Him. And the fellowship that she thought would always be there. I'm being sensitive. That's all right. This slackness. Well, I'm just a sinner. I remember a guy telling me one time in Franklin. I asked him about something and had some problems. And I asked him, I said, how you doing? Well, I'm just a sinner. I'm just a sinner. You know, I can't help it. I thought, no, that's not a good answer, is it? There's no excuse. No, I know we sleep. I know we're lax. I know we're slack. And I know we think that it's just going to always be that way. The Lord's always going to be there. We'll always be able to, there'll always be that fellowship. But Scripture says here, He slipped from her awareness. I know this. The Scripture says that she opened, in verse 6, to her beloved. But the beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. Thanks be unto God that He's never completely gone. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Psalm 136 says, O give thanks unto the God of gods, for His mercy endureth forever. But let me tell you what He's done. Wisely and mercifully, He has held her eyes spiritually. You know, the two on the road to Emmaus, their eyes were holden, that they couldn't see. Mary Magdalene, her eyes, she couldn't. She thought the Lord was the gardener. You know. And her eyes are holding from beholding him. And now she says, my heart faileth. My heart is gone out. My heart is departed. He hides his countenance from her perception. And she doesn't know. And now she feels, I'm ready to die. My heart fails. Now she realizes her great need of him. And he's gone from her perception. Which he's, to her, he's gone. She doesn't know where he is. She thinks back. She realizes how silly, how foolish I've been. I heard his voice. I heard the voice of the Lord. I heard him speak. And I know what he said. And I was just too lazy to obey. I was just too insensitive. I just didn't care enough. And he in mercy moved my heart to be ignited toward him. And now I want him. Now I want him. Now I want his fellowship. And he's going to withdraw himself. The scripture says that she said, I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. Not that he didn't hear, but the Lord often sees best to try our faith by long delays. And we find ourselves knocking and asking and seeking. And by the grace of God, we must continue in patient waiting without a reply, without an answer, and really no knowledge of when he will answer. Again, his tarrying is not because the prayers of his people are not heard or accepted in Christ, but his wise delay is according to his sovereign will to give us according to his good pleasure. If he's pleased to exercise our faith, causing us to learn patience, let me ask you this. Is he not doing as he will with his own? Does he have the right to make me wait? Does he? What right does a pot have to question the potter? Beggars of a sovereign God, we're beggars, and we're not choosers of his time, his place, or his manner of answering. Who am I? I am what I am by the grace of God. I'm just thankful I heard his voice. I'm just thankful that he gave me a heart that he would rekindle. I'm thankful that he would call me his beloved, his dove, his undefiled. He would tell me that his head was filled with the dew of the night. But remember, his delays in prayer, in the answering of prayer, is not his denial to answer. It's not. Our flesh, Satan, and the world would shake our confidence in the God of all truth by pointing to our seemingly unanswered prayer. He hears. He knows. The scripture says in verse 7, the watchmen that went about the city found me. They smote me. They wounded me. The keepers of the walls took away my veil from me. Here the bride encounters faithful ministers of the gospel. They're watchmen. Watchmen that watch for the souls of God's sheep. And I tell you what they're going to do. They're going to be honest with God's sheep. me ask you this. It's what I'm telling you. Am I being honest with you? Are we not like this? Does the Lord not have to rekindle our hearts? Are we not so lax? Does sin, so doesn't it so easily beset us? The sin of unbelief, doesn't it? Isn't it refreshing just to meet together again, hear the gospel preached, and put his hands, Lord, speak to my heart. Lord, rekindle my heart. Lord, let me be sensitive to you. He exercises patience, teaching us patience. So what did she do? She said, I went out in the city. The watchman found her. And what did they do to her? They smote me. They wounded me. The keepers of the wall took away my veil from me. What, were they being mean to her? No. Absolutely not. We need... Look back at chapter 4, Song of Solomon 4:16. What does the Lord say? Now, when the gospel is preached, the gospel that tells men who God is and who Christ is and who men are, we're sinners saved by the grace of God. He's God. The army of heaven among the inhabitants of earth, he does what he will with his own. Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? He's the surety of God's sheep, the Savior, the Redeemer, God and man. Came into this world, laid down his life for his people, for his sheep, that's what he said. And the gospel is proclaimed, and what happens? The Lord says, awake, O north wind, the Spirit of God. Come thou south. Come north wind of conviction, and the south wind of encouragement and blessing. Same Spirit. Blow upon my garden that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden, she says, and eat his pleasant fruits. When will that happen? When will the bride say, come and, Lord, fellowship with me? I tell you what, when the gospel is preached and the Spirit of God blows in convicting power and soothing confidence in the Lord. We desire. I need to be smitten. That's what they did. They found me, they wounded me, they smote me. But it's the chastening power of God's mercy. If you be without chastisement, you're none of his. You're not his. If the Lord doesn't chasten you, it calls you to admit what you are, a sleeper that is awake. You don't know him. He's going to teach you that. Faithful watchmen, preachers of the truth, they will not allow God's people to hide behind any veil of indifference or sin. What did he do? They took away my veil from me. They exposed me. That's what they did. And we need that. We need that. God's people are thankful for that. And then in the last verse, verse 8, I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, that you tell him that I am sick of love. The bride is heartbroken because of her insensitivity toward the Lord Jesus Christ. How could I have done this? How could I have acted so insensitive? Insensibly to him. It's like David, Psalm 51. I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. She seeks help anywhere she hopes to find it. And she speaks to a group called the Daughters of Jerusalem. Now, I've read a lot of interpretations of who these daughters are. Some say they're young believers. They give them all kinds of, examples of the law or something. Let me tell you who I think they are. I think they're nominal professors. What I mean is this, they're just They're tares. You'll understand that term? They're tares. They're tares among the wheat. And you know how I've told you this. If I can't back up something, I dare not say it. Let me show you why I say that. Look at Song of Solomon 2:2. Song of Solomon 2:2. Here's the Lord describing his bride. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. Now here's a comparison. The lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. The Lord is talking about his bride among a group. Now these thorns, as the lily among the thorns, look at Ezekiel 2:6. Hold your place in Song of Solomon as I close. Ezekiel 2:6. Ezekiel 2:6, "And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou dost dwell among scorpions. Be not afraid of their words, be not dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house." There's briars and thorns and tares in this world, and God's people are in the midst of them. And here's Shulamite. She is sick of love. She is missing the Lord. And she comes to a group that's throughout this book called the Daughters of Jerusalem. And they're always spoken of. My question would be to those that would say they're young believers, why would the church be speaking to someone else who is the church? Shulamite, the bride, is the bride. It's her love, the love of the Lord, of the beloved Savior. He speaks of his beloved, my love, my sister, my undefiled. Now she, the church, is speaking to someone else. Well, there's only one other someone else. It's either sheep or tares. Everybody is either a sheep, either an elect or non-elect. There's only two groups. There's only sheep or goats. There's only two. So if the bride is speaking to someone else, then she's speaking to someone other than herself. But I want you to listen to the answer that the daughters gives her. She says in verse 8, "I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, tell him that I am sick of love." And listen to her answer, the daughters of Jerusalem, back to the church. "What is thy beloved more than another beloved, O thou fairest among women? What is thy beloved more than another beloved that thou dost so charge us?" Do you know what she just asked? She said, if you see him, Shulamite, the bride, said to the daughters, if you find my beloved, tell him that I'm sick at love. And here's what the daughter says back to her. "You that are the fairest among women, you that are robed in his righteousness, you that have the savor of his love upon you, the scent of his mercy to you, what is it about your beloved that is more than another beloved that you do so charge or ask us?" Here's what they're saying. Who is he? Who is he? You're asking us, if we find him, who is he? The bride had told the daughters of Jerusalem to tell if they found the Lord that she was sick of love. Oh, when a renewed soul is made aware of what they are by nature, they are never at peace except they be near him. I mean, she, who would not open to him, would find herself going to the daughters of Jerusalem and asking them, "We need some help. we need some help. She is, her heart has failed her. Three statements in closing. Love, sickness. You tell him that I am sick of love. Now this is a sickness only a believer knows something about. Let me ask you this first. What does a believer know about how he got that love sickness? How did he get it? I am sick of love. How did you get that sickness? Well, I'll tell you how he got it. The Spirit of God created a new man, and in that new creation, love was imparted. Love. The Scripture says, Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. How did you get that love sickness? The Lord gave me a new heart. That's how I got it. Second question. How do I know that I have this love sickness? Well, let me ask you this. Do you find yourself with a sickness of your for your sin? Can you say with the Apostle Paul, "Oh, wretched man that I am"? Does your heart burn within you as you realize that the presence of the Lord is in this place, the hearing of His gospel? And does that same heart fail when you behold an attitude of sleepiness toward Him? Then your heart is sick of love. Then lastly, will this love sickness ever end? No. We're going to go through this world seeing through a glass darkly, knowing in part, prophesying in part. And until the Lord calls us home, we're going to struggle, but we're going to love Him. We're going to sleep, and we're going to see it. And I'll tell you this, the more you grow in grace, the more sleepy you see yourself to be. That's an evidence of growing in grace. You see something in yourself. But I tell you this, there's coming a time when Almighty God is going to free us from sin, Satan, self, and this world. And in that day, we're going to see Him as He is. And I'm going to tell you something. We'll love Him as we've never loved Him before. And we'll be like Him. May the Lord bless the word to our heart for Christ's sake. Amen.